Welcome to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Though it's still full-on winter, the days are getting longer, the sun is stronger, and the snow is slowly melting. On this Outdoor Explorer, we'll talk about getting ready for the birding season. Andy Grenier from the Office of Bird and Safety, Patrick Higgins from APU's Outdoor Program and the American Canoeing Association, and Eric Downing with the Kinnick Canoers and Kayakers join me, your host Paul Torta, to talk about preparing for summer. We'll also discuss the APU gear swap with the student organizers Claire Bitnell and Sam Henderson. Stay tuned for Outdoor Explorer. Hi, welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordot. Today, we're talking about gearing up for summer. And in the studio, I have Eric Downing with Kinnick Canoers and Kayakers, Patrick Higgins with Alaska Pacific University's Outdoor Program and the American Canoeing Association and the American Pack Crafting Association, and Andy Grenier on the phone with the Alaska Office of Boating Safety. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hi, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, Paul. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so We're recording this in early March, so it doesn't seem like summer yet, but the sun is coming back, and I think we are I'm looking forward to it. So let's go through and introduce ourselves, starting with Eric, and talk a little bit about your organization.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Hi, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in and for donating to Alaska Public Radio.
Thanks, Eric.
My name, you got to get a plug in. Everybody's got to pay their bills.
Yeah.
So anyway, even Kinnick Canoers does, but we don't have many bills to pay. What we do, we're a nonprofit organization. We were established back in 1970 when there were a lot of land issues in Alaska. And one of the key things there was as we were carving up land ownership and access, the club was formed in part to advocate for private boater access to Alaska's waterways. And it's a real critical thing. Those issues have mostly been resolved now, but we still stay involved in access. The main thing what we do is we promote safe boating, and we also help out with conservation of Alaska's navigable waterways. So we do a lot of things. I got into Kinnick Canoers and boating back in 1991 when I got tired of fishing with everybody else in the crowded rivers. So I sold my powerboat, got a raft, and, well, I haven't looked back since.
Nice.
It's taken me all across Alaska, and I've enjoyed it, and I do a little bit to give back to the issue and industry of boating in Alaska. How about you, Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick.
I work for Alaska Pacific University Outdoor Programs, and I'm also an instructor through the American Canoe Association, so I can certify instructors for sea kayaking, whitewater kayaking, and pack rafting. And I'm also involved with the American Pack Rafting Association and the Alaska chapter. So the American Canoe Association, as well as the American Pack Rafting Association, are geared towards education as well as stewardship as well. So we're out there trying to educate people how to be on the water safely and then get people introduced to people in their community as well.
Great. Thanks, Patrick. And Annie, talk to us about Office of Boating Safety a little bit.
Hi, everyone. I am the education coordinator for the Alaska Office of Boating Safety. Our mission is safe and enjoyable boating for all Alaskans, and a large way that we meet that mission is by providing education, opportunities, and resources for Alaskan boaters. So we offer monthly courses over Zoom for power boaters, so you can tune in from anywhere that you're at around the state. And that's a nationally approved course. We offer entry-level paddle courses. We do that in the pool, so you can actually come and get hands-on practice getting back into your boat. We are proud to support the Kids Don't Float program, and so we're in schools, and we provide education opportunities for kids with summer camps and really any organization that would like us to come out. We also provide the life jackets that you see around the state at the boat launches and the docks with the life jacket one report program.
Yeah, I love the life jackets. It's a great service the state provides. Thanks, everybody. So why don't we talk a little bit about the programs that you have coming up. So, Andy, why don't we go start with you? What does the Alaska Office of Bird and Safety have on the radar for this spring and summer for the public to join in on?
Yeah, so we offer that nationally approved course once a month, and so we'll be offering that throughout the summer. And so if you've never taken a course in Alaska, I highly recommend that you do that. We talk about a lot of local hazards specific to our state. And if you have taken a course, I still recommend that you take a refresher. Technology changes, gear changes, even requirements change. And so it's always good to get a refresher if you haven't taken a course for a couple of years. We're working on getting our paddle class schedule up, getting most pools reserved. So you can look forward to seeing that soon. The best way to find out what we have going on is going to alaskaboatingsafety.org. Right on our homepage, we have a calendar that has all of our courses as well as those of many of our partners, including the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, and the courses that they offer. Most of theirs are still over Zoom, and they are doing some in person as well.
Yeah, and we'll have those links on the Outdoor Explorer website. And let's see, Patrick, how about APU and ACA and the pack rafting group?
Yeah, for APU, we do boating, open boating at Mosley Pool every Thursday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And that's a great way for you to kind of stay in paddling shape throughout the year, because sometimes in Alaska, you can't go paddling too much, or you got to kind of pick and choose the weather for sea kayaking right now. But we do the open boating, and we can also, if you'd like to sign up for a roll class, we have roll classes available. You can email op@alaskapacific.edu, and we can do sea kayak rescue classes as well. But there's all sorts of boats in the swimming pool. We have pack rafts, sea kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, so you can try out a variety of crafts in there. And then for the American Pack Rafting Association, there's going to be an event happening in April that's going to be, double check, it's going to be April 6th. It's going to be Sherry, and it's about, a documentary about Sherry Tingey. So she is the founder of Alpaca Rafts, so it's going to be a great way to meet other pack rafters in the community. And then for the American Canoe Association, I'll be teaching a pack raft instructor certification course, so you can become a certified pack rafting instructor through the American Canoe Association, and that's going to be May 19th through the 22nd. And then we'll be doing swiftwater rescue courses, as well as introduction to intermediate to advanced pack rafting, whitewater kayaking classes throughout the summer.
Patrick, talk to us a little bit more about the American Canoe Association and what they are about.
Yeah, the American Canoe Association, they're about education and also stewardship. And then they're also involved with the Olympic team now as well. So they're involved with racing. I'm more involved with the educational aspect, so certifying instructors. So making sure that people are getting out there, having fun, but also being safe. So my boss, Levi, who works for Turnagain Kayak, he's also an instructor certifier. So generally in the springtime, we go around and we certify a lot of the instructors for guiding companies. And then throughout the summer, we'll also host instructor trainer courses. But the ACA, a really good organization. It's also a nonprofit, but designed on getting education out there.
So let's say I'm shopping around for a tour for my friends. So you're a certified instructor. So what does that mean? Am I looking for someone who's a certain level of certification, or let's say I want to go on a sea kayaking outing or a whitewater rafting trip. Is ACA certified in those guides as an instructor, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it depends on what kind of activity you want to get into. But the American Canoe Association kind of gives a standard. So it's a kind of considered industry standards in the United States. So if you're looking for a quality instructor for whitewater kayaking, say, for instance, if you look at the company and it says that they have an American Canoe Association certified instructor, that'll generally give you a guideline or let you know that they've met that standard. So there's a number of levels of certification. So say you wanted to go surfing in Homer next weekend, you could look up and you could find an American Canoe Association instructor in your state, and they would be certified at that level to be able to take you out whitewater kayaking or even just on a flat water paddle as well, too. So it really does help get those good technique to help prevent against injuries and also keep you safe while you're out there.
And they do so. They do sea kayaking, whitewater kayaking. What else?
I also teach stand-up paddleboarding. It's one of my favorite things. I really like whitewater stand-up paddleboarding. Not many other people are into falling in the water in Alaska, but I really enjoy it. Also canoeing. Pack rafting is a new instructor certification as well, too. So the ACA just last year started certifying instructors for pack rafting. They also do whitewater rafting instructor certifications, swiftwater rescue. I also teach swiftwater rescue courses through the American Canoe Association. So there's a pretty big variety of paddle crafts for the American canoe.
Thanks, Patrick. That was Patrick Higgins with the APU and the American Canoeing Association. This is, you're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. I'm talking about gearing up for summer, primarily with water sports. So Eric Downing with Kinect Canoers and Kayakers, talk to us about some of the things that are going on with KCK.
Okay, well, we've always got lots of different things going on. Sometimes in winter, we're doing slideshows to keep ourselves entertained and dreaming about next summer. In the summer, we have barbecues, and then in the springtime, we do some promotion and events. But what your listeners are really interested for spring, hopefully, is how do I get into boating? It seems complicated. People who have all this expensive gear and stuff, you don't know whether you like it or not. And so we do a couple things to help new boaters get into boating. And there's all types of people that approach things in different ways. And there's all types of different stages of life and stages of boating. And one thing you may notice about all of us outdoor types up here in Alaska is we've got tons of gear. I don't care whether you're skiing, whether you're bicycling, you're fishing, you got guns and you hunt, or whether you have boats. You got tons of stuff. You got tons of gear. You can never have too many boats. And part of the reason for that is it's a lot of fun. So I think the first thing is people should figure that they want to do this as a hobby and have fun. Some people want to use it as remote access. Some people want to use it for fishing as a camping vehicle. So kind of figure out what you want to do. And then you go out and you learn your fundamentals. And as you go, you kind of accrue gear as you go. You know, a few of us, when we're young, can afford to just step in and spend $1,000 on a dry suit, another grand on a boat, and then this and that. Then you got to go with other people. They got to co-invest with you. So it can be daunting to some people. But like myself, I just got in it. I went to a spring event that Kinect Canoers was hosting, the safety meeting, and now we call it the Spring Into Boating. That's on on May 17th. And what that is just a one-night class or lecture, and we're going to invite a bunch of boating industry people so you can meet the people who are doing the classes, you can meet the people who are doing the training, you can meet the people that have the gear that you need, and then you'll hear from a couple people. You hear from people like Annie's group, who will talk to you about how to survive well in Alaska's cold water. You'll hear from others who are doing a fashion show that night. So if you
A fashion show. What's that mean? Like fashion?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like
hey,
how to dress for success?
Like what? Yeah. Indeed. You'll notice one thing that boaters often have in common is they're very ill-matched in their clothing. They have bright blue this and bright orange that. It looks gross. But anyway, beyond that,
apparently going to work on that on May 17th.
We're going to work on that. Yeah. But yeah, usually you come in and you only got a couple dollars. You don't know if you're really into this. And so we encourage you to get out of your cotton and get into some fleece underclothes, underlayers, and then put a rain gear on top. You get a little bit more money and you know the sport you're after, then you can gear yourself in your clothes, invest a little bit more, and get the appropriate clothing for the type of activity you're doing. And so that's what the fashion show does. Shows people how to get in cheap and then piece at a time upgrade from there.
So that was May 17th at the BP Energy Center?
At the BP Energy Center.
And that's called Spring into Boating. Spring into Boating.
Yeah, and just look at Knit Canoers and Kayakers Facebook page, and you'll get the information from that. And that, of course, is free.
Yep, and we'll have a link to that on the Outdoor Sport website.
Oh, good,
What else do you have going on?
Well, a bit before that, at Beartooth, just after the April 6th movie and get-together about Sherry Tingey and the pack raft, on April 17th at 5:30, we have the Anchorage Paddling Film Festival. And so that's a couple hours of good time, fun boating, just to get us interested. You know, as the snow starts to melt, get your skis off, get your boats together, and this gets you excited.
It does. Yeah, I've really enjoyed that film festival in the past. Yep.
Yeah. And then there's planners, there's doers. There's some people that like to think about what they're doing, planning, do research, and come to these meetings and all this stuff and get excited about it. Then there's a whole set of us that just like to jump in and do it. And for those who like to jump in and do it, keep skiing in April, do your chores in May so that in June you can get out there and do your action stuff. And so we want to help you with that. And on June 3rd at Goose Lake here in Anchorage, just down the street from Alaska Public Media here, we'll have Paddle Fun Day. And this is a free, fun community event for the public to come out and try different boats. You can try standing up on a stand-up paddle board without trying to get into the rapids like Patrick does. Or you can get into a pack raft, or you can try a canoe or a kayak. So last time we did this, we put 300 to 500 people on the water. So it's a great, fun, wholesome family activity for the day. And we'll be cooking up some hot dogs. So come get a free hot dog, try a free boat. If you like a paddleboard, then you can be able to talk to somebody about getting a paddleboard. If you like a pack raft, then you can see what styles are available. So it's a good demo boat day for everybody.
It's a great event. It's been going on for a while. We took a break over the last few years. AP has been involved, provides a lot of the boats.
Yes.
The Office of Building Safety helps sponsor it. Thank you very much, Andy and your people. And KCK and a variety of outfitters show up with their stand-up paddle boards and gear, and it's a wonderful event. It sounds crowded, but it's not. It starts about 9 or 10 in the morning, run till mid-afternoon, and people just wander in and wander out. And one of my favorite stories from that event is a young couple who was there and obviously did not have a lot of money, and they were so excited, and it was her, 21st birthday present. That was the party. Was they weren't going out to eat, they couldn't afford anything, but they could come to Paddle Sport Fun Day, and they spent the whole day out on Goose Lake in boats. And it was a lot.
Great.
It was really, really fun. So a really great event.
Yep, we're looking forward to that. It'll be fun having that again.
Yeah, lots of families showing up too. It's very, very kid friendly. So
it certainly is. So that's it. And then after the beginning of June, we can't be bothered with events and things like that. We're too busy out having fun on the water.
Yeah. But you do your barbecue.
Oh, right? We do our summer barbecues at the fourth Thursday of the month at Goose Lake. Yeah. And that's a wonderful time to come get some food and share lies about what you've done and share plans about what you're going to do. Talk with other boaters. So that's a lot of fun, too.
I think one of the things about KCK and these clubs have sort of waned a little bit with the social media and the internet. But for those, like the barbecue thing, especially if you're new to town or new to the sport, it's a great place to show up and meet people like Eric and Patrick, who've been around for a long, long, long time, have done a ton of it. Jack Mosby's been involved. He's been at this as long as anybody, it seems like. And learning where they've been and what they've done, talking about trips and learning from their experience and just meeting people to do other trips with. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah. Great. So let's go move on a little bit. Andy, do you have anything to add about events or things going on with Alaska Boat and Safety?
No, we're going to be really busy. I just also want to reiterate that we do a lot of our programming by request. So there are certain things that we do month to month, but if you have a group and you'd like to have a class in your community, we can come offer a class in person in your community, whether that's a kids event, a family event, an adult course, we can do that. And I'll make sure that my contact info is in that resource that Paul will have, yep. It'll get posted on the website. So.
There are a few other things going on. That I want to mention. Later in the program, I'll have some students from APU to talk about the APU Clear Swap. That is April 8th at the Moses Sports Center. So we'll have more information about that later on the Clear. That's a good place to come and look for gear. It's just not a boating gear. It's all kinds of outdoor tents and pretty much anything anybody wants to sell. So people can come in. It's a consignment sale fundraiser for APU. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. There's also numerous outfitters. Patrick mentioned Turnagain Kayaks. There's Alaska Kayak Academy. There's lots of places to learn. So let's talk about that for a minute. What? Mm-hmm. And I'll ask, direct this to Patrick. Where can people go to learn? Like, if I want to learn any of these water sports, what's out there for me to go and sign up to learn how to, whether it's whitewater or sea kayaking or flatwater?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of options out there. So you can, quick Google search, you can find a lot of different companies out there. But if you look up the American Pack Rafting Association, we can get you to resources such as Jewel Harrell. She's got a company, Alaska Pack Raft. And then also there is Luke Mell. He's offering some great classes out there for pack rafting, Turnagain Kayak. But if you look up the American Canoe Association and then you type in Alaska, they can help find different instructors. So it'll list instructors in Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, so you can find those people who have those certifications, and that can help you get to the right area. But I always recommend, if you're starting to learn something, start on really easy whitewater, so, or easy sea kayaking. So a great place is the different pools that are around the areas. I believe Annie's on her way to Fairbanks to go teach some stuff in Fairbanks, so even though it's negative 20 degrees in Fairbanks, you can still get in a pool and you can keep those skills current. And the same with APU. You can go to Moseley Sports Center and you can get in a pool and you can learn in a nice, warm, controlled environment versus just going out there and winging it or throwing yourself into the deep end. So it is good to start off in a nice, controlled environment and learn those harder skills on easier whitewater or easier water or sea kayaking so that you can have fun while you're doing it instead of scaring yourself.
Yeah. And I assume the same goes for sea kayaking. You know, maybe American Canoeing Association has a list of people that that people can look up and find to learn how to sea kayak.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's instructors in Seward. We've done trainings in Haines, Sitka, Juneau. So there's instructors all over Alaska. So there's lots of options out there for you.
Nice. And Eric, I'm going to talk to you about rafting because I know you. KCK, do they still run a rafting class, or how do I learn how to raft?
Yeah, well, this year probably not because I'm the guy who does the raft class. And, before myself, Keith Hawkins did it, and so you know I learned how to boat from my father-in-law, and he threw me in the front of the canoe. This is back in the late 80s, and you know, he showed me all the routine and stuff like that, and then I was done, and I was going to move into another boat, and so, you know, I thought that the front of the canoe was a very important, essential part, and he said, okay, when you get out, would you go grab a couple big rocks and put them in your spot? And that way I'll have a little bit of ballast in there. And so that was my evaluation of about how important and vital I was to the whole operation. But
just don't be a rock. Yeah, do something. Yeah.
So anyway, you know, when you're doing the rafting, I've done it for, gosh, 31 years now, 32 years. But next year we'll have one.
Yep.
And this year, rather than a class, what we'll do is we'll post a few trips. Mm-hmm. And we ask people who want to learn to post trips on the KCK Facebook page or the Alaska Paddlers Facebook page. Hey, I want to go on this date. Is there anybody else who wants to go? And if you can put together a couple of people, and each boat is a safety boat for the other boats. And so it's good to not go out alone. It's good to go with others so that you can support each other and help each other out there on the water.
Yeah.
And then that's a great way to pick up skills.
Yeah. Great. So a lot of experiential learning there going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. The Kinnick Canoers used to do a lot of training and classes. That was one of the core things that we did. But the boating community has evolved. It's grown. It's expanded into a number of different sub-activities, if you will. And there is a great, wide, and deep base of skills up here. And that's represented in the boating community. And as Patrick said, whether you want to go rafting, whether you want to do pack rafting, just go onto the Alaska Packraft Association and take a look through there and just pick up the phone and call. And even if the person on the other end of the line doesn't know or doesn't teach those specific skills, they may be able to point you to somebody who does, because we're all boaters and we all want to go out there and do safe boating and help each other.
Yeah, I'm always impressed with even the guides and outfitters who are running day trips are very much, you're learning while you're out there. And
yeah,
they're all very, it's a nice, tight-knit community. And so even the people at Stony Club Sea Kayak and Alaska Sea Kayakers or whoever, they'll know who's teaching, they'll know who's doing the classes, and they can direct you in that direction.
Or they can say, well, you can tag along with me on this date this time, just so you have another set of eyes in the water with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And any advice for power boaters and besides your safety classes for learning and picking up skills?
Yeah. I mean, definitely go out. Like Eric and Patrick have been saying, the same for power boaters as paddlers. Go out with someone who knows the area, get as much information on the area as possible, learn about the local hazards, boat well within your ability. So we always say don't leave if the weather is at the max of your ability, because it doesn't leave any room for things to deteriorate further, then you're going to be in trouble. So make sure that you're staying well within your ability. Go with folks who have been there before, who have more experience. Ask lots of questions before you're going out. People are usually really willing to help out new boaters getting in. You know, just be cautious. Take a class. It's not required in Alaska like it is in most states, but it's still highly recommended. Unfortunately, there aren't many hands-on courses like there are in the paddling community, but taking the time to just get out, practice, go with folks who are more experienced than you, those are all really great ways to gain experience.
Thanks, Andy. That's Andy Quinier with the Office of Boating Safety. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media, and I'm your host, Paul Torda. We'll be right back with more about gearing up for summer.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Twardock, and we are talking about gearing up for summer on Alaska Public Media. And I have in the studio with me Patrick Higgins with Alaska Pacific University's Outdoor Program, Eric Downing with the Kinnick Canoers and Kayakers, and on the phone is Annie Grenier with the Office of Boating Safety. So let's come back to you, Annie, and let's talk a little bit. We're talking about regulations and rules. So what do we have out there that we need to pay attention not to get in trouble with the man?
Yeah, so one of the most important requirements, I think, is all vessels are required to have a U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket on board for every person. So that means it has to be in serviceable condition, which means it has to fit the intended wear, and it has to be in good condition. So talking about, you know, gearing up, this is a time of the year where it's a good idea to inspect your life jacket, make sure there's no tears in it. It hasn't gotten moldy or collected some mildew over the winter where it's been stored. Make sure the zippers are functioning, the buckles are all functioning. That is, you know, most of the fatalities that we see in Alaska are folks not wearing life jackets. So with the cold water that we have, life jackets buy you a lot of time. And I also want to note that all these paddle craft that we're talking about, those are legally vessels, even stand-up paddle boards. So those do fall under this requirement, and you do have to have a life jacket on board with you. You need to have a sound-producing device, again, for paddle craft and power boaters. If you're power boating, make sure that your navigation lights are working, that your distress signals haven't expired. Now there's a lot of new technology out there with non-pyrotechnic flares or electronic distress signals. And so you don't have to worry about replacing those flares every 3.5 years, which there's not actually a legal way to dispose of in Alaska. And so there's some new really great options out on the market. I'll make sure that you get a link to that resource. We do have a very nice, concise list of everything that you're required to have on your boat. But I will say, if you're following that list, you're probably going to still be pretty unprepared going out into Alaska waters. That list is pretty minimal, especially with the technology that's available. So making sure that you have a communication device that works and is effective in the area that you're going to be boating, whether that's interior or out on the ocean. Make sure that you have distress signaling. So once you've contacted help and they're on their way, you have a way to signal them and get them into your exact location. So those are some of the most important things. Again, those communication devices, they're not actual regulations, but I would say you're pretty unprepared if you're getting out on the water without some way to contact help. And then the other important thing is just where you store that equipment. So thinking about, is this equipment that I should have on my person? If I get separated from my boat, am I going to be able to use this? And there are certain things that maybe you do just keep stored on the boat. So going through and thinking about things in that way, as you're preparing yourself for a day out on the water.
Thanks, Annie. Well, let's talk about preparing equipment too in boats. Mm-hmm. Guys, any advice on Eric or Patrick on getting, now's a good time to get those boats ready, because I know I put mine away and didn't pay much attention to it after the end of the season.
Yeah, it's good to get out and check that stuff. I usually feel like the kid in A Christmas Story when I put on the gear at the beginning of the season. For some reason, it always seems to keep shrinking over the wintertime. I don't know what's going on. So it's good to try that stuff on, and it will loosen up a little bit once those straps get wet. And I also, sometimes it's good to have a checklist, because I've done it with skiing too. The beginning of the ski season, I show up to go skiing, and I don't have any ski poles, or I'm missing the skins for my skis, and it's pretty hard hard to get up the hill if you don't have any skins on. So same with boating. It's always good to check and triple check your gear, making sure if you're going sea kayaking that you have a tow rope, a bilge pump with you, maybe a paddle float if you need that for rescue. And then for whitewater, making sure you have your helmet, your throw rope, maybe a spare paddle with you. And then food and fuel, because you need to keep your body prepped as well. So just making sure that you have everything there with you, and then trying out stuff. I used to be a really good off-the-couch boater. I'm not very good at doing that anymore. So I do like to do some easier warm-up stuff at the beginning of the season. So I might not fire up Upper Willow at the beginning of the season. I might take it easy, maybe go to Eagle River and practice on some rapids that are a little bit easier. Or I might not surf as big as waves. I might start off a little bit smaller and pick the conditions where I know I'm going to be comfortable out there for the first few times. Because, again, that equipment might not fit as well this at the springtime. So just getting used and comfortable in that equipment that you have.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like Goose Lake or like very nice, easy half-day paddle where I just check them on my gear out.
Paddle Fun Day, June 3rd.
Yeah, there you go. Right, yeah. Bring your own boat to Paddle Fun Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the APU pool. It's great because it's nice, warm water. It's salt water too. Thursdays, yep. And we're going to do that all year. So getting in the pool and being in some place that's warm because water.
Yeah. Can people bring their own boats into the pool? How's that work?
Oh, we have all the boats there, so it's a saltwater pool, so we're trying to be as kind to the pool filter as possible. And I want Raina to be on Raina's
her
good
boss,
side.
Boss, yeah.
I want to be on
pool manager, yeah.
Yeah, so I want her to keep letting us go in there. So if you have a brand-new boat that's never seen the water, say like a brand-new pack raft that you just got, we're okay with that. But the boats tend to get a lot of dirt and things in there. So, yeah, we have all the equipment in there, paddles, skirts, life jackets, helmets, so you can get comfortable wearing that stuff. And practice how you would if you're going out. So if you're going to practice rescues for your sea kayak, try with all your gear on and do that in a pool. So do that in a place where you're comfortable and kind of practice how you would be if you were in an actual scenario.
Yeah, good advice. Mm-hmm. Eric, how about you prepping for clear and stuff?
Well, you know, it's always important to be safe. And I liked what Annie was saying. And to be a little bit more clear, you know, Annie... she's with the state. They have standards, and I don't.
Be careful what you say here now.
Yes, indeed, we will be careful. But you know, the price of clarity is the risk of insult, is what I've heard before. But if you want to stay alive and you want to stay healthy, you know, they found out that people who drowned out there, and a lot of people are concerned about that, but I can tell you, you'll solve 90% of your problems. You just use this checklist. Just don't be young, single, male, drunk, and not wearing a PFD, and you're 90% of the way there. So you can have a lot of fun just as long as
I like that. Maybe the last two, like wear a PFD and don't be drunk. I think I can't do much about some of the other things, but yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, you can just be a little bit more aware. So that's it. That's the big thing for safety there. Yeah. It's just
how do you
careful.
Prepare your yourself for the spring, Eric?
Oh, boy. Well, I prepare by stretching out my shoulders because when you row, when you're in a raft, or I have a drift boat as well, when you row, then, oh, man, you got to get those shoulders working. So you'll always use different muscles. And so what I suggest, the most important thing is to get out and do that exercise a couple of times before you go on your big trip. And that way you'll wake up those new muscles. Yeah. And then you get used to them and you'll realize, oh, man, well, now I'm more aware of what my body needs. And then you may choose to satisfy that or to work on those shoulders or whatever it might be.
Yeah. What about your equipment? Do you do a trial run? Do you,
pull
it all out and blow it all up? And
Well, you know, every spring and every fall, what I do is I just go in with a pitchfork into my garage and I just churn the mulch of all my gear. And so I got my winter gear comes out, summer gear goes underneath or vice versa. So I try to pull it all out and I do a couple little easy trips. And that gets most of the stuff used. And then I go camping. You can even go car camping because the camping gear is a whole nother world that you need. Yeah. And you need to figure that stuff out, too, because there's always fittings. There's always things. Things break. That's why there's That's why there's vendors out there, is because stuff breaks, people want new things.
Right.
And yeah, you can come to the gear swap. And what date was that gear swap?
April 8th.
There we go. Yep. So you can get some things, get rid of some things, churn your own gear mold in your garage.
Yeah.
That's it.
What about mentally? Getting prepared mentally. We talked a little talk about physically and clear, but what? Patrick, what about maybe get Andy back in the cell phone here?
I get a really good playlist going for music. You know, Taylor Swift, Kesha, Katy Perry. Gotta get really amped up. I like to do activities all year. So rock climbing, backcountry skiing, and skate skiing too. It's really good. To kind of keep you physically fit, because when you're physically fit, it's going to make it a bit easier to get that mental aspect down. Whereas if you're not, you don't really have that cardio ability. You get in there, you're sweating just getting your skirt on your boat, and then it's going to make it a little more challenging. So staying fit and active during the winter really helps with jumping back into boating. And then again, boating with a group of friends that you're really comfortable with, and you know you have the similar goals, and just boating with people that you know are going to kind of keep you safe while you're out there, so people that you can trust. And then practicing some of those rescues with your friends as well. So at the beginning of the season, getting out there and practicing that role in some place where you're able to do it and you're comfortable and you're not going to have any kind of risk or increase your risk. So doing that in a safe place with good friends that are around you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think that matching your skills to the skills of your group and the skills of what you're doing, that's probably the most important thing you can do, so you don't get in too far over your head. You know, there's a different types of boating and different types of exertion levels, and you'll do different things at different stages of your life. You know, when you're young, boy, you're strong, you're free, and you want a solo boat like a pack raft or a stand-up paddleboard or something, any kind of solo boat where, because you know, you can express your freedom. And then before you know it, you get a little older. All of a sudden, you have a spouse, you get kids, you get a dog. Man, you still want to go outdoors. And so you end up getting, you shelve your pack raft, and then you get a raft, and then you pour everybody in the big tent. And then finally, you do that for a while. The kids get older, and they go off, they get their own pack rafts or paddle boards or whatever they're going to be doing. And so then you end up being the empty nester, and you can get into an inflatable kayak and use that for a few years. And those, each one of those uses different sets of muscles and different skills and different gear a little bit. And then finally, at the end of it all,
let's talk about that, Eric. Yeah.
You can sail away in your Viking funeral pyre.
Well, I was saying one step before that, I was sort of thinking, then I go to the powerboat.
Right. I got a powerboat.
Really? Oh.
Right
when I always say, when I can't get out of my kayak, that's when I'm going to have myself a powerboat. And then last year, I had a moment when, after a long day of skiing and kayaking, I couldn't get out of my kayak. And it just turns out I had a cramp in my arm. But I'm like, I need to buy a boat, a big boat. So, any of you are back with us?
Yeah, we'll try this again.
Yeah, there you go.
Any better now?
Yeah, much better. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Eric touched on what I wanted to talk about. Talking with your group and making sure that everybody in your group is on board with what you're doing and feels good about it. If anyone in your group doesn't feel comfortable with what you're doing, then it's putting them in danger. It's also putting you in danger, because it's going to really affect the way that your group is able to travel.
Yeah. Sounds like I have some dogs in the background there.
It's Iditarod time.
Yeah, it must be Iditarod, yeah. I think that's really good advice of setting, when you go back to trip planning and planning trips and planning outings, even day outings, or even just going out for an hour or two, of knowing the group's expectations and how you're going to make decisions. So, Patrick, you want to have any advice on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things when I look at when I'm making decisions. So I'm checking the weather. I'm checking the wind is one of the bigger things for sea kayaking. Also the area that I'm going to, because there could be a current at certain areas. And then for white water, I'm checking if what the water levels are. And I don't always trust what the river gauges say, because sometimes they can break. And there are some really good people that are out there checking the river gauges. But I've been to a river before, and I kind of keep a mental note of how it looks at different flows. So I've showed up at different rivers, and they're way higher than what the gauge is reading, or way lower than what the gauge is reading. So just having a good idea. And sometimes a good option could be to pick a different location to go. So Alaska is really nice. There's lots of places that we can go, and you can pick and choose where you want to go, and you can pick the appropriate. Because again, looking at the group skill level, you want to paddle to the ability of the kind of the weakest link, not the weakest link, but the
lowest
paddling level. So you want to make sure that they're having a good time, because you want your friends to stay your friends, and you want to keep them paddling with you. So picking an area that's appropriate for everybody.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it's important also to have a margin of safety. So, you know, you can say, well, we're going to, here's what we can paddle to, but also have a margin where that you or whoever is the most experienced person, if trouble does happen, that they have that's well within their ability to help other people.
Yeah, yes. Having an escape route or having a way. Yeah, turnaround time for sea kayaking in case you start to get there. And just keeping an eye on that forecast as well. So if you're going out on a multi-day trip, keeping a VHF radio or looking out and just seeing, observing that weather while you're out there.
Yeah, I think that goes for any boater, whether it's a power boater or a paddle sport. Well, we're getting close to our end. Thank you all for joining us. Right after this, we'll have some AP students on talking about the AP Clear Swap on April 8th. We'll have a lot of information on our website about Alaska boating safety. Annie, thank you for joining us from Fairbanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep. And also thanks to Eric Downing with the Connect Canoes and Kayakers and Patrick Higgins with Alaska Pacific University's Outdoor Program and the American Canoeing Association and the Alaska Paddlecrafting Association. Thanks, guys, for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordap. We're talking about gearing up for summer. And on this segment, we're talking about the APU Clear Swap. I have here with me two APU students that are help organizing the Clear Swap, Claire Bitnell and Sam Henderson. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, so tell us a bit about this. First of all, tell us a bit about yourself. I guess this is a project in a class, so talk about that for a second, Claire.
Yeah, so we are both outdoor studies majors. Right now, we are in our rec program design class, in which we have to throw this gear swap event at APU. So that's a project that we're working on right now. I'm a big backcountry skier from Colorado.
All right, and Sam, tell us about yourself.
Yes, I'm a local Anchorage-raised Alaskan and aspiring mountain guide, and I also backcountry ski.
And what are you learning about in this class? Like, what's the class about?
Kind of with the name, Rec Program Design. So we are learning how, in this instance, to throw a gear event, which we have to organize and finance and market. We're both on the marketing team. But then we're also learning how to like run a guiding business or even just design curriculum for outdoor activities.
All right, fantastic. And Sam, what do you learn in this class?
Similarly, also learning a lot about different types of administrative roles that go on behind the scenes at guide services, such as the logistical purchases and insurance, legalities, risk management, a lot more than people realize at the below the surface.
Yeah, I call it the back door of outdoor stuff. Excellent. All right, so Clear Swap. Talk to us about Clear Swap, Claire.
Yes, so the APU Gear Swap will take place Saturday, April 8th at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Mosley Sports Center on University Drive on the Alaska Pacific University campus. It'll be a great opportunity for you to both sell used gear that you might have or buy some used gear.
And so, and how do I go about, like, get involved? If I have gear to sell, what do I need to do?
So you are going to go to our website and create an account on My Consignment Manager, in which you will enter the items that you wish to sell and the price that you would like to get from them. You will then print off the barcode tag for each item, tape the barcode label onto the item with clear packing tape, and then you're going to bring your items to APU's Mosley Sports Center Friday, April 7th, 4:30 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, April 8th, before the gear swap, 8 to 9 a.m.
And then what happens, Sam?
Yeah, so once you bring the gear in, you'll check in with the student staff, and you'll get your items displayed for sale. Alternatively, if you're having printer issues, we should have a location at the gym to print your tags off. But ideally, if you can have your items tagged, that'll smooth the process and get things through quicker with the student staff. And then you can enjoy the rest of your day or stick around and check out other gear that you may be wanting to purchase and swap.
So explain the swap part to me.
Well, although it's called a swap, you are selling your items and purchasing your items. So there's no one-for-one gear swap trading going on.
Nice, right. And I think it's a fundraiser of some sort?
Yes, so all of the money from this, APU is going to take a 15% commission, in which it'll go towards the outdoor studies program at APU, which help funds a lot of the field courses that we like to do, as well as gear that students will need to take these field courses. So it's really kind of the backbone of the APU program.
And what kind of gear are we talking? What kind of stuff could I bring in?
Pretty much any outdoor gear, backpacks, stoves, camp utensil, campwear, tents, sleeping bags, skis, ski boots, poles, pack rafts, canoes, kayaks, pretty much anything that's just gently used, as long as it's not completely thrashed with huge holes and repairs needed. Just about anything that you can think of for outdoor adventures in Alaska, we will take.
What about motorized boats and things?
We may have trouble finding you a spot to spot your boat for the event, but if you're willing to take 15% commission to APU to sell your boat, then maybe.
Yeah, I think parking's a little bit of an issue, right? And so that's if I want to sell things. Now, what about buying? What time do I need to be there at? And how's that work?
Yep, so if you're looking to browse what we have, again, it's Saturday, April 8th, and you could show up at 10 a.m., and it ends at 1 p.m.
So doors open at 10.
Correct.
You two have not. Have you been to it before?
No.
Oh, shame on you. So I've been there, and it's a long line, so people start showing up pretty early.
Yeah, if you say so.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It's true. So people want to get there pretty early. That there isn't really a preview beforehand for people can't come in and look at stuff, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So get there early. The best gear is probably going to go within the first hour. So we recommend getting there before the doors open and trying to find a deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The other thing, then, so once it's over, what time does it end at? What time does the sale end at?
The sale ends at 1 p.m.
So 1 p.m. Then, if I'm a seller, what do I do then? What happens then?
So if you are a seller and you want to see if your items are still available, you could pick up your leftover items 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
And what happens if I don't want the stuff?
If you don't want the stuff, you can also donate it to the Outdoor Studies Department.
Yeah, it goes to APU, and then we actually give it to students. If it's clear, then the students in the program can use it. The program will use it, but other than that, it's donate it to students. Anything else you want to say about the Clear Swap?
Yes, if you would like to, you could visit our Facebook page at Outdoor Gear Swap. Very soon there will be an Outdoor Studies Instagram with the same, or just it'll be on the Outdoor Studies Instagram. You could also look for flyers around town that will have the QR code of our website on them, probably at Alaska Rock Gym, Hoarding Marmot, usual outdoor Anchorage places like that.
Yeah, and I'd also say that that website will be on the Outdoor Explorer website also, with their ability to link to the registration page. And Sam, you have something else for us?
Yes. Have a little jingle. So, gearing up for an adventure? Want gear that's tried and true? Then come on down to APU for the Outdoor Gear Swap. It's true. Climbing, hiking, skiing too. We've got gear for all of you. From boots to backpacks, tents, and more. Find what you need and so much more. So join us for the fun and thrills and get outfitted for the hills. Alaska Pacific University's Gear Swap, a perfect place for outdoor folks.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, lastly, so you two, we're going to have this gear swap, and hopefully you get some good swag out of it. After this class is over, what are you two doing this summer? How are you going to apply all the stuff that you're learning?
This summer, I will be a mountaineering instructor / Denali guide for Alaska Mountaineering School, which I've already kind of applied some of these skills. I helped them kind of write down their 6-day mountaineering course in kind of a fun little curriculum-based way. So I guess there's one way I've used this class already.
Excellent. Sam?
Yeah, so I hope to continue to glacier guide for the Sheldon Chalet this summer. And luckily there we have the freedom to kind of cater to the clientele and what they want to do as far as adventures on the glacier. So I think this will allow me to better create new day trip events potentially for the chalet.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I've had Claire Bitnell and Sam Henderson with Alaska Pacific University's Outdoor Studies program talking about the APU Clear Swap to be held on April 8th at the Mosley Sports Center. That about wraps up our show today. There's a saying that goes something like, to prepare for the outdoors, one should work on one's gear and rations, one's physical health, and one's mind. In South Central Alaska, there are many resources to help with all three. A couple great ways to get ready are the variety of events focused on the natural world. Events like the annual Hawk Watch near Sheep Mountain in mid-April. Also the Sportsman Show in Anchorage, April 14th to the 16th. And then the Shorebird Festivals. There's the Kachemat Bay Shorebird Festival in Homer and the Copper River Delta Shorebird Festival in Cordova, May, and both are May 4th through 7th this year. And then there's the Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium, May 16th in Whittier, and also streamed online. Also, there are a couple wonderful outdoor education centers, the BLM's Campbell Creek Science Center and the Eagle River Nature Center have lots of activities and educational talks to get you ready for the spring. Check out the Outdoor Explorer website for links to these organizations and events. Thanks to my guests Annie Grenier with the Office of Boating and Safety, Patrick Higgins with APU and the American Canoeing Association, Eric Downey with Connect Canoers and Kayakers, and APU students Claire Bitnell and Sam Henderson. And a big thanks, as always, to our producer Eric Bork. This is your host Paul Torlak, and from all the hosts at Outdoor Explorer, thanks for listening, gear up, and we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.